All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first official episode of the Strength Academy podcast. It's Mundo here, along with Grayson.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
And we are just going to go over some of our backstory, pretty much just a little bit about ourselves, how we got to where we are as both coaches and owners of the gym, and we'll see what happens to the conversation from there. So do you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah. I mean, so growing up, I never did anything remotely athletic. I always played music or vandalized buildings, but I never really did a whole lot of organized sports growing up. Senior year of high school, I dabbled in a little bit of jiu-jitsu, and that was kind of my first window into being physically active. But I didn't really start training or anything until I joined the Army a couple months after graduating high school. So I did the basic stuff in the Army, pull-ups, push-ups, but it wasn't until I deployed to Afghanistan in 2010 that I really started training with weights on a regular basis, and have essentially done so every week since then. When I got kind of tired of realizing that I wasn't making a whole lot of progress doing bodybuilding split routines, I kind of shifted over to doing some... The program was Strong Lifts 5x5, but it's very similar to a starting strength, kind of general linear progression for squat, deadlift, shoulder press. And I started seeing some videos of people doing these crazy lifts where they're throwing stuff over their head. And I was like, I need to learn how to do that. Right. So trying to do it by myself in the gym on base, I don't even want to know what it looked like. I'm sure it was horrible. And some guy that was really into CrossFit was like, hey, you know, if you want to learn how to do these, you should go to a CrossFit gym and, you know, try to do some of that. I was like, well, all right, I'll consider that. So when I got out of the Army, I joined a local CrossFit gym, wanted to learn how to do the lifts, got kind of hooked on that. And after about a year, I didn't want to do cardio anymore. Yeah. And I switched over to fully training for weightlifting. And I think, God, it must have been 2013 or so.
Okay.
I stayed at that CrossFit gym all of my free time and insisted they hire me at a certain point. And managed to, when the person running the weightlifting club moved away, I was able to kind of step into that role and start managing the weightlifting club there for, it must have been another three and a half years or so. And the situation was right, and we were kind of in a place where we were wanting to do something different. So we kind of reached out and started up our own thing at Albuquerque Strength Academy. And it enabled us to kind of really, you know, I wanted to do something where it was just weightlifting and we didn't have to dabble in CrossFit or really kind of distract from the core of, you know, just doing good, honest strength training and having Olympic lifting at the front of that, but allowing people to do powerlifting, general strength training, anything revolving around a barbell has been my whole life for almost a decade now. So
yeah, that's...
I just want people to see what I see in it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get, I have some questions that can be fleshed out for Grayson's experiences, but a little bit about myself. I didn't grow up doing any strength sports at all. I played basketball. I was pretty skinny. I'm not much bigger now. and I used to skate a lot. Not skateboard, but like rollerblade, inline skate. So yeah, don't judge too harshly. But I joined the military when I was 18, and being in the military kind of kept me in shape the entire time. I know the Air Force fitness standards are somewhat a joke among the military community, but it still kept me in shape. I ran, I did push-ups, I played pickup games of basketball and swam and lifted a little bit of weights, you know, just the bro stuff, biceps, triceps, bench, chest day, all that good stuff. And throughout my career in the military, I always stayed in shape. I never had any problems passing any physical fitness tests. And it was always something that was important to me. Growing up, not a whole lot of my family members really invested any time in physical fitness or nutrition or anything that really was health related. So for me, it was just like this continual journey of just trying to stay fit and be as healthy as I could be with the knowledge I had. And as I got closer to the end of my career, I ended up being a unit fitness training leader. And so I was kind of in charge of making sure that my people got to the gym and did the things they needed to pass their fitness tests and stay in shape. And I kind of liked doing that and helping them with that. And it wasn't in a forceful way. The military can be somewhat, authoritarian in that area. But they actually did go. They got better. Everybody passed their physical training tests. And from then on, I just took an interest in trying to help other people be more fit in whatever capacity they wanted to be fit in. And so after I got out of the military, I was kind of lost. I didn't really have a whole lot to guide me or keep me on track. I had moved back home. I didn't know anybody. Most of the people I knew were either gone, moved away, or were living their lives in some other capacity that I didn't fit into. And I found CrossFit in 2013, and one of my friends, I had gone to visit him in Victoria, Texas, and he was doing CrossFit at a gym called FitStrong United, FSU. And there was just a bunch of people having fun, throwing around a barbell, doing the weirdest version of pull-ups I had ever seen before. And just generally, it was, it was a good community. So I looked one up when I got home back to Albuquerque, and I kind of fell in love with it from then on. And eventually, I got to the point where I wanted to be better and stronger at CrossFit, so I started to do Olympic weightlifting. And yep. I did it so much that I just never went back to CrossFit. Like Grayson said, I started not doing cardio, and I never went back to doing cardio. And so I eventually met up with Grayson at a few local meets, and he always helped me run my cards, and he was friendly, and he was just always willing to help and answer questions. And I got to the point where I could make a transition over to where he was coaching, and circumstances panned out to where I lost my job. I was laid off, and I had some savings, and Grayson needed some help with logistics and getting things started, and I was able to do that. And so our coaching styles also met up well. We're really work on the same page as far as like what we want to see our lifters technique look like and things like that. So that it worked out to where we could have a smooth transition into having our own thing.
Yeah, and I mean to backtrack just a little bit, where you were saying like not really having a good idea of what your direction was after the military. Right. That was one of the biggest things that I loved about going to CrossFit, was there was a lot of people kind of, you're all doing the same kind of, you're used to doing hard stuff with right. people,
yeah,
and having that kind of close-knit community. And I mean, I had, my friend group, but I had this kind of, different experience, and being around a lot of the veterans and active duty Air Force and, that in the CrossFit community was really helpful for me transitioning out. And that's what I love so much about what we're able to build at our gym, is that by, having the style of practice we have, where it's not a group fitness class, it's a practice, people will come in, but you have that community and that engagement and the camaraderie.
Right.
You just don't have to do any burpees.
Yeah, definitely it's true that doing hard things together brings you close. And that was one thing about the military that I definitely carried over with me into my beginnings in CrossFit, is that when you're deployed and you have to suffer through some, terrible living conditions, or some of the things, the stories we could tell you about being deployed would definitely be like an eye-opener. But they bring you together too in a weird way. There's nothing like sharing suffering that makes people get along a little better.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, like that time in the gym is that time where everyone's putting in, and that's why I like to have our people kind of do at least a few of the same workouts together every week, we'll be making those alterations based on individual weaknesses, guiding the rest of the program. But I really like having people do those kind of similar things with maybe minor alternations, differences from person to person. Yeah, I know what words are.
Yeah.
And, you know, but so you're getting that individual attention, but you're able to kind of have that, you know, camaraderie of, hey, what percentage did you get on, you know, Wednesday's workout, you know, those sort of things. I think really helps kind of keep people working together and kind of sharing the experience. And that's really important to me, is getting the community really solid. So yeah, I think having that group training is important, and that's why I encourage people to, despite having access to the gym all day, because we do have those open times that we aren't there.
Right.
But coming in during practice is when you're going to get the most bang for your buck, because you're going to get that push, you're going to get that encouragement, and you're going to have that escape of just having a couple hours where you're not worried about what happened at work today, you're just worried about the next snatch.
Right.
You know, you're able to turn off, and it's just the task at hand, and you're not thinking about anything else. It's meditation with heavy weights.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And I remember when I was doing my bodybuilding-ish type workouts, that I had basically one training partner. And if he didn't show up, I would kind of just, like, not do everything hard as I could have, or, you know, go put as much effort into it as I could have. And I don't know if it was the same for him, but definitely, like, he would push me to try to do more weights, or, you know, just to go that extra rep. And in weightlifting, it's not necessarily the same way as far as, like, oh, get that, you know, that extra pump before we head out to the, you know, to the club or whatever. Not that I do much clubbing, but just saying. More than anything now, it's encouragement. You know, you see your teammate giving it his max effort, or you see, you know, that lifter across from you, and she's just going all out on that lift, just giving it all she's got. And it kind of leaves you without the excuse to just give a half-hearted effort.
Yeah, because people are there. You got to put out your best. And I mean that, like, some, and it's interesting to see how it's different with some people. Some people want to be, you know, quiet and collected, and it's, you watch the person lift, then you lift. Like, for instance, I think we trained together a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
and we were lifting for 2.5 hours, and we might have said 10 words to each other the whole time,
right,
but we were both pushing it,
right,
because we weren't just by ourselves training.
Yeah.
And then you see, you know, Riley and Alan and these guys, you know, kind of goad each other into doing another kilo, or, you know, kind of talk some shit if something was a little little bit forward, you know. They people kind of have those different ways of dealing with it, but it's all that same thing. It's that encouragement, it's that shared experience.
Yeah, no, definitely, that's true, because, like, you'll notice when somebody gives, like, a half-ass attempt. You're like, come on, man, you didn't even try to lift that. Like, you know when people, when their heart was in the lift and when it wasn't.
Yeah.
And you could tell. And sometimes you just got to get on their ass to do it. But yeah, like, that was one of the things that when I was training, I was training by myself a lot. When I initially transitioned over into being a full-time weightlifter, I was pretty much a solo lifter. I got stuck in the corner of a CrossFit gym, lifting by myself. Not really a whole lot of guidance, but I made it work. And training solo isn't always bad, because it teaches you that when there isn't somebody there, you can still push yourself. But definitely having a group of good people to train around helps out, because watching other people get better and watching better people than you lift will push you to want to be better too. And that's part of the benefit of having a community of people at different levels of weightlifting to help you see where you came from, where you're at, and how far you can go.
And I mean, I think that that community aspect that I first found in the military, and then, you know, continued on through CrossFit, and now I'm trying to build within this weightlifting paradigm, you know, is something that I wish that I had when I was younger, because I was just the most pissed off teen you can imagine. You know, I got into a lot of trouble. was kind of an alcoholic, you know, you kind of end up, you know, kind of in this like kind of dark place, and you don't, when you don't have an outlet. And if I had known how much, you know, lifting weights, you can't be pissed. No. After spending 2 hours crushing deadlifts, you're too tired.
Yeah,
you're right. Too tired to be angry. You're too tired to be, you know, angsty and feel like everything's falling apart, or you're just wanting to, you know, drink yourself out of feeling anything. You know, you get in touch with those kind of, you know, painful parts, and you put those into the lifts. And by kind of like channeling your energy into that, you start getting more confident, you know, because I was insecure and angry, and the more I kind of put myself into the routine of lifting and the discipline that goes into eating and controlling your sleep,
right,
you start to get healthier. And when you start to get healthier, you start to feel better. And when you start to be more confident because your strength is increasing, you don't need to be that angry person anymore.
Right.
You can be a lot more laid back. And I think that there's a lot of lessons within weightlifting, because it's so frustrating, because it's so hard, that you're always working to refine. And that refining your lifts, if you're doing, you know, the things outside of the gym, getting your sleep together, getting your nutrition down, you'll start to see that you're improving yourself and not just your lifts. Like, the better you get at weightlifting, you're more disciplined in the other aspects of your life.
Right.
You feel more at peace with yourself. You feel like you know who you are a little bit more. And that's been just like immense for me. Like, just thinking about how much I've changed as a person in the last 10 years is insane. And it all comes back to just spending that time with the weights and learning those lessons that weightlifting can teach you.
Yeah, definitely. I would say it's a lifesaver for me. So at the end of my Air Force career, I was stationed at Fairchild Air Force Base, and we had a runway closure in conjunction with deployments, and it was really tough. If you weren't away from home in another country, you were away from home in a different part of the state and working 12-hour shifts the entire time. Then you get back home, maybe have a week off. Not entirely, like a week off of not working 12s, and then go back to either that remote location or get deployed. So it was just this, and so all your friends and that community was split up very, very widely. And I ended up getting deployed to Kyrgyzstan. And during that deployment, I had a friend who committed suicide while we were over there. And our first sergeant, he's basically the one in charge of the well-being and morale of and discipline of the unit, told me about one of my my people that back home, you know, committed suicide. And it was odd, because I knew what his life situation was, and mine was similar. He had just gotten divorced, he had children, and he was not dealing with being away from home and then coming back and then being away again very well in his family environment. And like I said, I had a similar situation. And for me, I had to figure a way out to be more resilient and to not let that be an option for me. So I ended up finding this book by Tim Ferriss. It's called The 4-Hour Body. And it's not, I'm not plugging that book, but it gave me some good ideas. And one of them was taking cold showers. And one of the benefits of cold showers is that it makes you mentally tough, because you cannot be timid about taking a cold shower. You have to suck it up and stand there. And I actually did that when I was in Kyrgyzstan in the wintertime. It's 40 degree with wind chill.
I spent a little bit of time in Kyrgyzstan on my way to Afghanistan. And yeah, it is one of the colder places I've been.
Right. So yeah. And so on top of that cold, I lived in the barracks in a dorm with a roommate, but the showers were just like open bay type showers with maybe a curtain in front. And I learned to take cold showers every day. and it made me so tough. Like I would get out of the shower. I was like, if I can endure that, I can get through the rest of the day. I can make it through the deployment. I can make it through whatever. So that kind of really, you know, saved my life. And it transitioned over into weightlifting because sometimes things suck and you suffer, and it's not suffering in an unproductive way. There's a difference. You're suffering to get stronger and to build yourself up, but a lot of people don't know how to suffer and make it productive, give it a purpose.
Well, and keep your eyes tuned early next week, because I'll be putting up a blog article kind of covering some of this. But, you know, people expect, I think that the idea of pursuit of happiness is people end up just expecting to be happy.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's a little unrealistic, you know? Like, learning to deal with that adversity and knowing that, you know, the suffering or the pain or whatever you want to call it is going to be there, and intentionally putting yourself in situations that's physically challenging, like a cold shower, like doing some heavy squats, like those sort of things, build your ability to handle the other types of pain that you'll encounter in your life. You're like, okay, well, I know that this is tough, and, you know, but it's part of life. I mean, no, there isn't a person on earth that isn't suffering in some way,
right?
You know, that's part of being alive. And if you're convinced that if I only make $10,000 more a year, I'm going to be super happy and I'm not going to have any of these issues,
right?
You're just wrong. You're going to, they're going to be there no matter what you do. And, you know, learning to be resilient and how to handle it in stride, I think that, you know, doing weightlifting training and like those sort of like physically challenging things help you with the emotional challenges that you'll inevitably have. Because, I mean, as much as we don't want to think about it, yeah, everyone you know and love will be dead.
Right.
Yeah. So
not to take a completely dark tunnel down depression, but no, it's a reality. And I think everybody's suffering is relative. It's just like weightlifting percentages. We don't all lift the same weight. We don't all have the same PRs. So the amount of work that we have to do based on where we're at is going to be different than somebody else's.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with emotions and suffering, in that those are fleeting moments, right? Happiness is an emotion. It's something you feel, and then you move on to another emotion, right?
Yeah.
So constantly chasing it is like a dog chasing its tail. You know, you might grab it every now and then, but it's not gonna stick with you forever.
And that's why you gotta enjoy the process,
right?
You know, every weightlifting workout isn't gonna be the best workout of your life. Those are few and far between. Like, right. maybe one in 15 workouts you're like, man, everything was just dialed in today. But the rest of it, you're just trying to get better, and it's really hard. And, you know, If your expectation is that every day that you go to the gym is going to be amazing and you're going to do exactly the right technique that you're supposed to do, I mean, you're just going to end up being so hard on yourself. You have to look at it as a process, you know?
Yeah.
You're just, you know, getting a little bit better. You're putting the work in, even when it's hard, because you like to do it and because you're learning from it. And I think that, you know, not being disappointed that you're not Ilya Illin yet,
right,
you know, isn't really, you know, it's not productive, you know?
Definitely.
So you can feel those challenges and feel that hardship, but you don't have to let it dictate what you're doing.
Right.
Because, you know, it's part of the human experience, you know, and having that physical challenge, I think, is, you know, ingrained in our DNA. Like, if you're not being active, you know, I mean, we were designed to run and kill animals and climb trees
right,
and gather berries and, you know, be on our feet moving around all the time. And we're so detached from that having something like weightlifting, you know, kind of taps you back into that, oh, I have a task. I have a physical task. I accomplished something today. I moved this up and down 10 times. I moved this thing over there.
Yeah.
There's something really gratifying about that.
No, that's very true. I think that when a life is absent, when it has an absence of difficult things to accomplish, then that's when people start to get you know, into that downward spiral.
Yeah.
When there's no challenge, when there's nothing to bring you up to another level, to try to make you push yourself, that's when people get stuck. They get to this idea that, just take for instance, if you haven't made a PR in a year, right, you feel like you're stuck. But you're measuring your progress against something that happens, you know, every year, maybe every 2 years, depending on how good you are technically and strength-wise. And you have to realize that the process, the showing up every day, putting in the work, is going to lead to you getting to that next step or to that next kilo. And even then, that moment is short-lived. You get 6 minutes on the platform. If you compete in weightlifting, you get 3 chances at a snatch, 3 chances at a clean and jerk, and you get 6 minutes total. And whether you go 0-for-6 or you make all 6, that's it. That's all you get. So that whole time, if the only reason that you're doing it is just for those 6 minutes, then that's kind of like a waste of all the energy that you're putting into the workouts that you're doing every day.
Well, and if you think about it, you know, it's not even the full 6 minutes. You know, if you count how much time was that weight over your head versus how much time did you spend training.
Right.
You train for 16 weeks to hold something over your head for about 25 seconds if you made all 6 lifts.
Right.
And if the center judge is being a stickler about the down right. signal because your feet are uneven.
Right.
But, you know, like, so you're putting in all this work for something that's not going to, it's not going to last long. No,
definitely
not. You know, so you have to enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
And enjoying what you're doing doesn't mean that you're doing it perfectly even, or right. you're, you know, not struggling with it. You have to kind of enjoy that, you know, oh man, I just don't know if I can make this next lift.
Right.
And you have to dig deep and you have to like, so you might not be happy in the moment, but you'll feel accomplished when you're done.
Right. Yeah. And so let me go back. Like, it's not a waste of energy. It's more of a misappropriation of your attitude toward your training. You should treat every lift like it matters, because they do, because they all accumulate. You're accumulating hours and skills and reps, and if you ignore any single one of them, then you're not taking it seriously. You're not enjoying the process, because every lift matters.
Yeah.
Everyone counts. The ones you miss count just as much as the ones you make. And it's just like anything else in your life. There's no refunds on what you put out there. You know, you miss a lift, that's it. The energy's spent. Like, and you just move on to the next one. So, yeah, it's a lot of... I think people just focus on the end result more than they focus on the process of getting, you know, the results that they want.
Yeah, because, I mean, we kind of touched on last time. I mean, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. And, you know, I think that helps, though, because you get, you know, to take a long view. You know, you're saying, okay, well, what can I do to, you know, be healthier so my joints don't hurt so much, you know? Like, can I refine my diet and cut out sugar so that my, like, knees don't just kill every right. time that I go into squat?
Yeah.
And what's really cool to see is, like, as people get more into it, they maybe start out and they're like, oh, I want to just kind of, you know, like we were, I want to just kind of learn how to do these lifts. They look really cool. Like, it's pretty fun. And, you know, you get kind of into it and you're like, okay, well, I know I have to lift heavy tomorrow, so maybe I'll try to, like, go to bed early tonight. You know, and it starts small. You start changing your habits to be kind of like, well, this is really important to me. I want to work a little bit harder at it, so I'm going to get to bed a little bit early. Or am I eating enough protein? Am I eating healthy food? Like, am I, you know, kind of taking care of myself? And then, you know, the better and better you get, the more of those things you start to do, and you're planning your meals, and you're doing cold showers and hot baths, and you're taking care of your recovery, and you're wearing a sleep mask, and you're, you know, taking handfuls of fish oil, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, building up on those things that are going to build you towards success. And you can't expect to do all of those things right from the start, you know? You have to ease your way into it. It's like, okay, I like this. What can I do to help make this better?
Right.
What can I do to help make that better? And you kind of start changing your life. And I mean, I think you and I have seen it so many times where people come in and they're kind of part-time and they're kind of having fun. and then they start to like get really into it, and all of a sudden their day is structured around how can I optimize my training session today? What am I going to do right when I get home? Am I stretching? Am I rolling out? Am I going to get checkups from a PT to make sure nothing's going wrong? Because, sidebar, don't wait till something is extremely painful to get it looked at.
Yeah.
Preventative maintenance is awesome. Get yourself a good massage therapist or physical therapist, maybe a chiropractor. Those guys believe in magnetic healing. But find somebody that kind of works well with you and address those issues before they're a problem. Everybody has imbalances. My hips get out of whack from climbing in and out of the delivery truck all day. Your job impacts your imbalances.
Yeah.
And the more you get dialed into your weightlifting technique, those start to manifest themselves as twisting in the jerk being kind of off balance or rotating 90 degrees on a snatch. And get in there before it hurts, guys, please. We can't diagnose at the gym. We can do preventative exercises, but if something feels off, get it looked at before it's cripplingly painful.
Yeah, for sure.
I already forgot what I was talking about before that. So what's next?
Well, no, so like, so what you were saying about the gym, it basically changed both of our lives, and what we're looking to do is help people change theirs as well. I think both for Grayson and I, we've made some ground. We've gained some ground in the way we look at life, our perspectives, because of weightlifting. And if we can provide that outlet that gave us so much to other people, then it makes it worth it. I used to build airplanes for a living, and I did pretty well doing it. And part of my thoracic problems come from being hunched over, stuck in small spaces, working on airplanes. But yeah, so like for me, it's more than just a business. And some people say, you know, follow your passion, but that's harder to do than you think. You can't just love drinking and then open a bar. That's not going to work out for you. You really have to love everything and do the things that make it work in spite of how boring or mundane they are. So for me, being able to provide a place where people can come, work out, build their personal character, because weightlifting will build your character. It'll teach you where you lack resilience and where you're too comfortable. If you can't be comfortable being uncomfortable, being a weightlifter is going to be really hard. But you can get through it. You can learn. You can learn to be more resilient. And for me, that's what weightlifting represents, is a way to get strong, both physically, mentally, emotionally. And I don't really have a whole lot of tolerance for complaining, even though, like, I know it's justified sometimes. But I think it's one of those things that goes along with mental toughness and being a better person. You don't like lifting the weight that you lift? Don't complain about it. Just work harder. You break down when things aren't going your way? That's fine. We all do. But work more the next time to keep your emotions under control. And for me, that's what weightlifting is about. And that's what I try to develop in the gym with the athletes that go there.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think, like you said, I mean, it's been the most important thing in my life for years now. And I changed, you know, my study in school. I was studying to, you know, be an EMT or a paramedic, and I started getting into this exercise science stuff, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go for it. And every decision I've made in the last, you know, 5 or more years has been, how can I have weightlifting more a part of my life? What can I do to really kind of make this everything to me? Because it is.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the training and what I want people to get out of the gym is to, you know, get that kind of sense of meaning out of it that I do, where it's, you know, you get to determine what's important to you. You know, you don't have to do what's expected. You don't have to work 40 hours a week at a job you hate to have a nicer house than the guy next door to you.
Yeah.
You decide what's important, and if, you know, lifting and training is what's gratifying to you, then pursue those things, because at the end of the day, you can't take any of it with you. And if you're doing something on a daily basis that gives you meaning and makes you feel like what you're doing is matters, then it matters. You don't have to listen to what, you know, your, you know, boyfriend or your mom says, why are you spending so much time at the gym? This is crazy. It's like, no, I'm spending time at the gym because it makes me a better person and I like it. And you don't need to do what other people want you to do. Be your own animal. You can do whatever you want. And if you want to pursue weightlifting, I've found tremendous meaning in that. I know Mundo's found tremendous meaning in that. And, you know, there's a lot there to be learned, and there's a lot of good people, and, you know, you can really make a life for yourself within that community.
Yeah, definitely. And weightlifting does not make women bulky, all right? Y'all need to chill with that.
You mean I'm not going to do 5 squats and wake up and be a female bodybuilder tomorrow morning?
Definitely not.
You mean it takes years of hard work to get that muscular and you can easily, it's not going to happen on its own?
Yeah, and your diet has to be like super strict.
And full of Dianabol?
And, well, maybe a little bit. vitamin D. But so just if you need a purpose, right? Let's say the purpose of life is to live a life with purpose, right? And if that purpose is just to put weight over your head in the best way possible, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll wrap that up for today. We'll keep talking about some more stuff that interests us and hopefully will interest you as well. But if not, we'll still talk about it anyway.
So we'll you know, keep the topics jumping around. But that's just a little about us, kind of our personal philosophies. Which you can also kind of get a little bit more in depth on some of our writing.
Yeah.
And, for sure. You know, like, that's not to say it's the only outlook. I don't think that anyone's 100% right about anything. No, but if you ever want to, you know, if you're thinking about stopping in and checking it out, like, there's a lot to be learned here. And, you know, weightlifting's for everybody. Everybody can get something out of it.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. And I'm not always right, and I definitely don't know everything. So, you know, I'm always open to learning new viewpoints, new opinions, and, you know, maybe it'll change mine, maybe it won't, but I'm still willing to hear it out. So
let's talk about it at practice next week.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Episode 1.
Yeah. Happy lifting, y'all.